This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
It is time once again for a Preston and Steve, not your average listener. We are going to put it up to you to determine whether or not our next guest is a not your average listener and is worthy of getting some cash. We're going to give away $250. And by the way, we're going to have to break up this interview because we have Joel McHale who's going to be joining us in a little bit.
It happens.
But let's go ahead and introduce our mystery guest, our not your average listener. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Deb Ferguson, yeah, who is here.
Good morning.
How are you, Deb?
I'm doing well. Thanks.
Excellent. And Deb, who listens to the show, and we always find out interesting things about people who listen to the show regularly and kind of out of the ordinary, whether it be a stupid human trick, a thing that you can do, or an object that you have, or something that you do for a living. And Deb is a private investigator.
I love this.
I do too.
I've been waiting to get a local private investigator in here for the longest time. We all have. And so that's very cool. Where do you investigate?
So we do corporate fraud investigation all over the world.
Corporate fraud investigation all over the world. So big time stuff.
Yes.
I think, in fact, were you not dealing with Bernie Madoff's case at some point?
We were. It was actually before everybody knew who Bernie Madoff was, before he was a household name to people who didn't invest millions and millions of dollars.
How did it come across your company's radar?
So one of our specialties is doing due diligence investigations on unregulated investments, which includes hedge funds, which is Bernie Madoff.
And that's what a lot of these guys target because they're sort of easier to manipulate, correct?
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly. So we were asked to investigate Bernie Madoff because somebody who was looking at his books and how his operation was set up said something doesn't make sense.
Huh.
And what happened was they wanted us to make sure that one of his bookkeepers was somebody that he knew, because otherwise it was just some retired guy in a basement.
Okay.
And so we did some research and we looked into it and we made some phone calls and tried to find out, is this a guy from his synagogue? Is this a, you know, brother-in-law's distant nephew? What have you? Just who is this guy? Why is Bernie Madoff hiring him? So that there's a connection so that it makes sense. And of course, we found no connection, which sent up a ton of red flags, and we had to advise our clients not to move forward.
Not to move forward with him. So we always think, and Preston, I'm sure you probably are along these lines as well, someone who gets into this is very, we call Preston the noticer, but I think to be a private detective, you have to notice, your radar has to be up, your red flag tripping mechanism has to be operating at top level. Because, you know, have you always been very astute? Have you always been sort of a skeptic? What is the best innate skill set for a private detective or an investigator of this nature, I should say, not a detective? Yeah.
So you asked several questions.
Yeah.
I have not always been very astute. When I started doing this, I actually was quite naive and I wanted to believe everybody was great. And then I got my first case where somebody wasn't great and I was like, oh. So it became a matter of the most important thing and qualities that investigators have is to be able to read between the lines. Just because it's written there and says certain things doesn't necessarily mean it all adds up. So you have to be able to deduce information and then backtrack to find evidence for that information.
Has the gig made you naturally more suspicious of people, even in just your regular social life?
Let's put it this way. I met my husband 10 years ago and I did a background check on him before I agreed to a second date.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, he knew.
Yeah.
I didn't lie, but yes.
How much information is out there for people that you can get, you know? I mean, just let's just say for the guy you want to date, you know, and doing a background check.
So there's a lot of public information, and if you know where to go, you can get to it, and it's fairly easy. You go to courts, you go to different records.
Right.
It's not a problem. But you have to know where to go, and it's very time-inducive. And then some things require licenses to be able to get that information.
I've, over the years, have thought about this random person that's been in my life. What are they up to? And this is before Facebook became so prevalent. You'd plug in their name, you know, in Google, and all of a sudden sites come back that say, oh, well, so-and-so lives in this state. But if you want to know more, you got to pay whatever it is. Of course, I would never pay. I'm not that interested in it. And I have no idea how much further they can give you information.
Does that actually work?
Like that. Yeah.
It's 50-50.
Yeah.
You really have to pull information from a lot of different places and piece it together like a puzzle.
The likelihood of finding one, just a civilian finding one site that's going to give them all usable information is nominal.
Correct.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Interesting. So you do things from the corporate side, but you also do stuff. Do you do stuff that extends outside of that, from, you know, outside of, the Bernie Madoff world? How far do you extend? Will you follow, you know, we investigate someone who's a cheating boyfriend. Do you take it down to that level?
So we know.
Okay.
we'll follow an employee who's moonlighting.
Okay.
We'll follow somebody who's doing something illegal in that sense, but we will not follow. We just don't like to follow cheating boyfriends. We can refer you to somebody
else.
Okay.
All right.
We are going to come back to this, but we have a guest who is scheduled, and we're going to light edge Deadpool in my own personal humble opinion. Back to our Not Your Average Listener, in case you tune in right in the middle of that interview.
Anyway!
With Joel McHale. We have Deb Ferguson, who is here, and she is a fraud investigator. And we were talking about, she had investigated the Bernie Madoff whole case. But
before it broke.
Before it really broke big. And we were going into some of the details about what an investigator does, a fraud investigator. And you were talking about the different kind of cases that you guys handle. Do you do fraud involving insurance and injury claims and things like that as well?
It depends. A lot of times they have their own fraud department.
Okay.
But we've done in the past, we don't really do so much anymore, but we've done like fire and things like that.
Because you see videos of people who say they got a back problem.
And they're working on the house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Or they're, you know, lifting up strippers or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
And people have to video that stuff.
Absolutely. Do you do things? So will you do surveillance? Or is it mostly on the order of going through books, you know, finding assets, things of that nature?
So it's a little of both.
Yeah.
We do have some people that we can send out to do some surveillance. I personally don't, but the company does.
Okay.
We do background checks and going through assets of people as well. And then we do computer forensics. So we pull information off the computer that's hidden to be able to kind of piece together that somebody stole data or stole information.
All right, so my wife watches a series of shows like CSI, NCIS, Leverage, all these things where people are, you know, they're investigating things. They're trying to get the root of the problem here. They go through they jump through all these hoops, these little tricks and stuff. Which of these shows do you watch these and find it hilarious or insulting, or are they getting some of it right?
I avoid them at all costs.
That's what I thought. You know,
because I assume that, because there's a lot of stuff, and I'll check these shows occasionally, Preston. They'll go into a room with a hologram, and I'm like, do they have this now?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, something tells me no.
Now, granted, they have 30 minutes to fix it, or an hour, or whatever, and they're going to cut corners, and you know, they type in a few keystrokes, and bang, we got them. I have four, you know, possible subjects here, but it's really overblown, right?
It is. It's overblown. And to be honest with you, 70% of my day is quite boring. And there's not all this exciting, oh my gosh, we have to do this before somebody comes in and steals everything and threatens to kill us. Yeah. That's really not it. But the 30% of my day that's really awesome.
That's when the attempted killings take place.
Yes, that's exactly it. That's why you don't know our address.
Right, the whole thing.
Yes.
But during that time, let me ask just quickly before we get off the topic of the computer and the forensics and all that stuff. During the election, there was talk with the emails and Hillary Clinton and so on and so forth of Cloroxing and whatever the programs, how comprehensive they are to wipe data off of hard drives and so on and so forth. At this point, can one, at an expert level, still retrieve information if it is eradicated off a hard drive with the current stuff that's available?
I brought my colleague Steve with me, who actually would know a little bit more, but it's my understanding, and he can correct me if I'm wrong. No, if you actually use a wiping program, which is not the easiest thing to get your hands on, but if you actually use that, then it's gone. However, if you delete it, if you think you deleted it and maybe you delete your cache, that doesn't necessarily mean it's gone. And then you can still get information. But if you go out of your way to purchase a wiping program and use that, my understanding is it's gone.
What trips people up the most when they're trying to say if someone's trying to hide assets during a divorce, or what is the thing that they're most likely to overlook or you know, that'll ensnare them when the investigation is taking place?
That they can hide it with friends and family and it won't be found.
Okay.
They think that nobody's smart enough to piece together that person shouldn't own that property, and that's odd.
Okay. And they're dumb.
I wouldn't call it dumb. Yeah. The average person wouldn't piece that together.
Yeah.
But investigators, myself and others included, that's what we do.
Okay.
There were two high-profile cases that recently surfaced in the news. There was a girl that was kidnapped when she was a baby.
Yes.
And they tracked her down. And then you see the other two missing girls.
Yes. Yeah.
Just yesterday, that story surfaced as well. Part of what you guys do is you will track down and find certain people. These are clearly criminal cases, but what type of stuff do you do in that regard?
So we do a lot with heirs to properties, a lot with title companies and real estate. They're trying to, usually there's a chain of title that's been broken. And somewhere along the line, the property was sold maybe 50 years ago. And the people who owned it died, but somebody didn't sign something properly. And now they need to fix that because now the new owners want to sell it and they can't. So we have to track down the heirs to the original owners that were 50 years ago and hope that somebody's still alive. And we had one recently where we wound up having to go like four generations out because everybody was dead. And then it was just a matter of finding death certificates to people who died prior to the death index being made public.
So can those people then say, no, I don't want to sign it?
They can, but usually it's not beneficial to them.
But they don't own it if they say, no, I'm not signing it.
Right, they don't own it. Okay. No, it's long gone. It's just, and they usually get paid a little bit from the title company to make this problem go away.
Okay. So obviously in the digital age, this stuff is a little quicker, a little faster, but on occasion, do you have to find yourself going through a file cabinet and looking through documents piece by piece or libraries and microfiche and things that are just, you know, old, antiquated.
Haven't been converted, yeah.
So I personally don't, but I call the courthouse and there are people there that will pull that up for me. Like I might find that there's a court case that I need more information and it's antiquated, but I don't have to go to the courthouse, especially when I'm calling California. Somebody there will do that job and then they'll send me a fax copy of those records.
You mentioned 30% of your time on your job that is exciting. Are there moments where you're like, I got it, I found it, this is it?
So I have two really cool cases that were like that. Both were employment screening. We do a lot of employment screening on the hire and for all sorts of companies, but more than what you're going to get online for $30.
Someone who needs to be really vetted.
Yeah, you know, for small to mid-sized companies, right. that matters if somebody steals stuff.
Sure.
And the higher-ups. So we had two cases over the course of my tenure of being with the company where people were applying for jobs in similar positions handling money. And had been indicted, either were currently under indictment or knew enough about how the typical system is to get away from it, had been arrested and charged in other states and knew that the standard in the industry doesn't check other states. And both were trying to apply for jobs with separate clients of mine in the same position while they were either under indictment or had been arrested and were on parole.
So you're not immediately assuming, well, they're just trying to turn their lives around and they're...
No.
They really deserve a shot, and let's give it to them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of them was actually this person knew all of the tricks of the trade. Everything that they committed was under a previously married name from like four marriages ago. And so they knew not to put that name on their application, thinking that nobody would find that. And of course, we found that name and did some research. And
knowing what you know and how things work, could you disappear? Could you cover your tracks? Could you do everything that needs to be done to...
go off the grid, as they say?
Yeah.
You know, I guess I could. But that's a lot of work. And I'm tired. I have a 2-year-old at home. I don't have time for that.
So how does one today, to Preston's question, what would be the first most comprehensive step towards cutting ties with the world and going off that grid?
So you're asking me to give criminal tips?
Well, there's about 20 shows on CBS that do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So
I would say the first thing to do is cut all credit ties. Get rid of your credit cards, close your accounts, don't use them for at least 6 months to a year.
Okay.
Get in a hotel room for a while.
Yeah.
So that you're not having a cell phone, you don't have an electric bill, you don't have an address that's yours, get a P.O. box so that all mail goes to that P.O. box. Get a PayPal account so that your money is going through PayPal and never going to your bank account.
It's already
Erase
too much work.
Everything.
It's a lot of work. At some point, though, there are things that you conduct in the world that do require, right? I mean, there are just general thing. A couple of things you're going to have to pop back up on the grid to get done, correct?
If somebody really wants to go away, they'll find a way.
Okay.
There's burner phones. There's, you know, there's a you can live in hotels. You have Zip Car now, so you never have to have a car or insurance.
I'll tell you what. I was at a Best Buy, and there's a little hotel right next to the Best Buy, and I was behind these people, and man, did they look shady. And they were buying a burner phone, and they were right next to this shady old hotel. And I'm like, and I'm behind them in line. And the guy's purchasing it. The girl is kind of like standing off a little bit, looking around. And I go, I'm like, what are these two up to? You know, because I feel like
you guys like crockpots.
What's a burner phone? I don't even know what that is.
It's a throwaway phone. It's one that doesn't have a contract. Like a Virgin phone.
You can just buy it. It comes with its own phone number. You use it one time.
But is your name linked to it?
No.
Terrorists will, or people involved with very nefarious activities, will use these. I assume it's the bane of investigators' existence.
You know, it used to be cell phones in general were the bane of investigators' existence because they weren't public.
Yeah.
But that changed. And when they started releasing your cell phones to telemarketers, that made us really happy because now they became more public record.
Well, I think that's how they just got the guy that killed the police officer in Orlando. They pinged his phone or whatever, and that's how they were able to track him.
Yes.
So, all right. So when I see these people at the Best Buy buying a burner and then walking over to the hotel afterwards,
I follow them.
Well,
I don't recommend that.
I can't like call the cops and go, hey, there's just some weird people that I just saw buying a burner going, because they're not doing anything illegal. I haven't witnessed them doing anything.
There's a likelihood that these people are on somebody's radar in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, or report them to one of the blue shirts there.
How long have you been doing this, Deb?
I've been doing this for 11 and a half years.
Okay.
How'd you get into it?
Yeah.
So I went to school to be a paralegal, and I was going to be the next child advocate that was going to save all children from issues. And then I realized that they don't make any money and can't pay back their student loans.
Okay.
So I was looking for something interesting because I didn't like the concept of just filing paperwork as a paralegal. Let me take that back. Paralegals do a lot of work, and they're amazing people, and I love all my paralegal colleagues. But
it doesn't mean you have to like it, though.
I didn't like the actual position. But that being said, so I came across an advertisement that they were looking for a paralegal who had knowledge, because of the investigative skills that they have, and had knowledge of how managing employees works, because I had managed a gym for several years while I was going to college.
Right.
So I applied for the position, and it sounded really exciting, and the rest is history.
Wow. So you mentioned that first time you realized not everyone is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to sit with that for a while? Was that a bit of an epiphany or a gut punch?
Yeah, I was like 25 years old, and it really hurt. Yeah. I thought, really, there really are more bad than good. Okay.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's a fascinating job, it takes a lot of work, man.
Yeah.
You have to learn the system. So, Deb's been listening to us for a long time, by the way, back to DRE days.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's definitely a big listener of the Preston and Steve Show, and we want to find out if you think what do you think? Does she win the prize or not for having a not your average aspect about her life as a listener of the Preston and Steve Show? So here's what you do: you text the word yes to 39333 if you want her to win the money from Primo Hoagies, or no to 39333 if you don't think she's worthy. So do that right now. And with that, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. We got some bizarre file stories, and we'll see how Deb does. So stay right there, Deb, and we shall return in a moment.
Thank you.
We have in the studio this morning a Not Your Average listener. Her name is Deb Ferguson.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Deb is a private investigator, fraud investigator in the state of New Jersey, works for Marigal, and that is the company. And we heard her stories of what all it takes. What do they do? Private investigators at this level. You know what I find fascinating, Steve, is watching the Leah Remini special on Scientology.
Yes.
And how often Scientology hires private investigators
to dig up dirt,
and probe and follow people around for a long time. And they will, they really can. Some PIs, private investigators, I guess they'll pretty much do anything you ask them to do as far as following any people around, right?
Absolutely. Mind you, we don't work for Scientology. I just want to put that out there and be very clear.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
They're devil worshippers. No, okay. but you do employ a private investigators, but you yourself, your company is not doing that.
No, we are licensed private investigators.
I mean, as far as on that level, you're sitting in a car following people around.
No, we have some people that we work with that do that through our company.
Okay.
But not Scientology.
Not Scientology.
Okay.
We employ more Scientologists than any other.
So we have gotten the results in. Thank you very much. For those who texted in, yes or no, to 39333. And, of course, Primo Hoagies, our fine sponsor, and they brought a nice spread of food for us this morning. Thank you very much. Will she get the money? Won't she get the money?
All right.
The split is 86% to 14% in favor of yes!
Oh! Thank you very much.
Deb is not your average listener. And so we're going to give you $250 for that.
Thank you.
From Primo Hoagies. And thank you for sharing your story. I think it's cool stuff. Nice job. Well, continued success with you and your endeavors in the world of fraud investigation. And thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys very much. And I was hoping to meet Yuki Washington this morning.
I know.
You
know,
he's
here to dream.
You have to deal with us.
He'll be playing us in our movie.
I heard. I heard. So, thank you very much.
Let's hear for Deb Ferguson, Yay! Guys. Nice work, Deb.